Well, it's good to see you this evening, and how thankful that we have this time to come together and to consider God's Word. I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter 15. Luke, chapter 15. Very familiar passage of Scripture. I'm going to consider verses 11 to 32 concerning the third part of a parable, one parable about a lost sheep, a lost coin, and a lost son. But before we consider it, let's ask our Lord's blessing. Our Father, we thank you this evening for this precious time to come together to look into your word. Lord, I ask your blessing upon the preaching of the gospel. I pray, Lord, that if you be pleased, that you might bring forth fruit wrought by the preaching of the truth. Thank you for this place. Thank you for raising up an assembly and keeping us here all these years. Forgive us where we failed you, for Christ's sake. Amen. In Luke chapter 15, in verses 1, 2, and 3, the scripture sets forth, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying." So this one parable, you read it, it's got three parts, one parable. But the part that I'd like to consider is that latter part, starting in verse 11. And the scripture says, "And he said, a certain man had two sons." Two men. One of them we'll find to be an object of God's mercy. The other one, a religionist, a tare, a mere professor of being one. But two sons. Two sons, that's what the Lord said. Two men that belong to God by creation, for sure. One of them in grace, but two sons. Ezekiel 18:4 says, "Behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die." Does the Lord have the right to do with his own as he pleases? Yes, he does. Does God have the right out of one lump, to make one vessel unto honor, another unto dishonor? Yes, he does. Verse 12 said, "And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living." Now, man by nature, now here is a picture of man's true natural desire. He has no love for God's presence. He has no respect for God's authority. He has no longing for God's fellowship. Man by nature fancies himself able, capable, wise enough. I can handle it. I can handle my life. So the scripture says, he says, "Give me my portion. Give me what's coming to me." And not many days after, the younger gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. Wasted his substance. Actually, it comes from a word that means wasted his being. wasted his life in riotous living. That is, living without saving anything. That's the definition of it. Riotous living. No saving. None whatsoever. Man alienated from God. Man rebelling against God. Man by his own decision. If you leave a man to a decision, this is what he's going to decide. I'll not have this man rule over me. Man by nature is the greatest waster. Wasted his life, wasted his being, wasted his substance in riotous living. Saved nothing. Man is a dead rebel against God by nature. Scripture says, verse 14, when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Sin strips a man of everything. No knowledge of God, no righteousness to stand before God, no strength, no will. There's none good. No, not one. He began to be in want. Now, up until this time now, just a few minutes, you know, we've looked at this scripture before. He's going to come to himself, but not yet. Not yet. He began to be in want. Not awakened spiritually, but conscious of a need to reform. He's now spent everything he's got. He's got nothing. You let a man or woman be reduced to having nothing, and I'm telling you what they're going to do. I'm in dire straits. I need to reform. I need to straighten up my life. You let a woman, by nature, find themselves in trouble. And you know what they're going to do? They're going to try to get in church. Well, we're going to have to get this thing right. We're going to clean up our act. I might have to get right with God. Man has a conscience. And he knows right from wrong. And this boy began to be in want, disgusted with himself. So what did he do? He went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into his fields to feed swine. Now, it doesn't say what profession this citizen of that country was, but I can tell you this. It was of the world. It was of that country. It wasn't of the place where he left, where his father. He joined himself, he glued himself to it. A lot of the commentators referred to this man being a citizen, being a false preacher, and he may have been. That may have been it. But whatever it was, this boy glued himself, and he was sent out to work in the lowest of jobs. He was reduced to nothing. And given a job to get out and feed the swine. A fit type, at least, of man-centered religion. Feeding swine. The scripture says in verse 16, he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. A starving man will eat anything. But man by nature, left to himself, does not realize what he's eating is death. You let a man sit under a false gospel, not hearing the truth, swine food. And I'm telling you, he would fain, the scripture says that word fain, it's lusted after. That's what he desired. If this is a picture of false religion, and I think it probably is, he desired to fill his belly, his heart, with hog food, swine food, lies, an impure animal to a Jew. And no man gave unto him. I thought this was real interesting. No man pitied his poverty. Men by nature say that they love men and want to do the best for them. Preach a false gospel to them because they love them. The scripture says no man pitied his poverty. I know what men say concerning the gospel of free grace. They set forth, they say, well, you people are just trying to just get just a few. You just don't want everybody. You just want a few. No, what we're preaching is what God says. And we believe in God. God's going to save His people. God's going to save His elect. But I'm telling you, I truly desire that God might be pleased according to His will and His purpose to produce fruit from the preaching of the gospel. I pray God have mercy on my family, your family. I pray God save His people. No man pitied him. Scripture says, verse 17, and when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. Now, here is without a doubt the first light of grace. Here Almighty God in power comes and gives a man, gives a woman a new heart. He came to himself. You know, I tell you, an unregenerate is beside himself. He's dead. He's blind spiritually. He's stubborn in his will, always choosing evil, alienated from God. But when God the Holy Spirit comes to a sinner in mercy, he brings him down. And let me tell you what this boy left arrogantly. That's what he did. Give me what's coming to me, I'm gone. I'm out of here. That's man by nature. But when Almighty God shows mercy, brings a man to come to himself. You know how you know it? He brings him down in his estimation of himself. Listen to his word. He came to himself and said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father and say unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. Now here's a heart made willing in the day of God's power. A heart of confession and a realization of no goodness. I have nothing whatsoever to offer back to my Father for reconciliation. The only thing that I can ask for is mercy. In regenerating grace, God by the Holy Spirit comes mysteriously and gives a man, gives a woman a new heart, a new mind, a new love, a new desire. And here the Father, spiritually speaking, draws this boy. Now that's what, listen to this. John 6:44. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. I will raise him up at the last day. How did I come to myself? How'd you come to yourself? God Almighty had to give you a heart for that. The Scripture says, and he arose, verse 20, and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, ran, fell on his neck, and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Now every word, especially of those two verses, demands careful study. We could stay right here. But considering the fullness of that scripture right there, there's one beautiful thought. Behold the mercy of God. Here was a father that saw this son a great way off. How far did Almighty God see us in rebellion? A great way off from Him. And the Scripture says, his father. I love this. I'm gonna keep going. But he arose, he came to his father. This is a son, a rebellious son. But that was his father. We fell in Adam, but I'm telling you, all chosen in Christ, they're sons, they're sheep, they're beloved. And he's our father. We don't know it until he gives us a new heart, new eyes to see. But the Scripture says when he was yet a great way off, his father, saw him, had compassion, and ran. I looked at that word again this morning, and I think how the Spirit of God put those words exactly in that. And we, so often, I'm trying to pray or call upon the Lord, and it's like I have to think to myself, God Almighty is a God of mercy to His people. Christ has put away their guilt. Reconciliation by His choice, His work. And He ran, the Scripture says, ran to this boy and fell on his neck and kissed him. And while he was falling on his neck and kissing him, the son in verse 24 said, he was trying to talk, and he said, "Father, I've sinned against heaven." And that father is kissing that boy and caressing him. He's so glad to see him. "And I've sinned against heaven, and in thy sight I'm no more worthy to be called thy son." That repentant never gets past repenting. You that know him, let me ask you this. Have you ever repented enough? Have you ever cease to desire to admit, "I don't deserve the mercy that God's shown me"? We continually call upon the Lord, thanking Him, blessing Him, praise Him. "Lord, have mercy upon me." Jeremiah 31, verse 18 and 19. I'll read this. "I have surely heard Ephraim bemoaning himself thus. Thou hast chastised me, and I was chastised as a bullock, unaccustomed to the yoke. Turn thou me, and I shall be turned, for thou art the Lord my God. Surely after that I was turned," notice this, "after I was turned, I repented. After I was instructed, I smote upon my thigh. I was ashamed, yea, even confounded, because I did bear the reproach of my youth." Back in Luke 15, 22 to 24. "But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe." I wonder if this boy had ever stopped trying to talk to his dad and tell him, "I'm not worthy to be here." "Bring the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand, shoes on his feet. Bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. Let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." They began to be merry. We consider the beauty of these scriptures. Here's a rebel, a sinner, regenerated by grace. First thing, he's brought to see himself. Cries out in his heart for mercy and never stops, and realizes that while he's beseeching the Father, "Father, have mercy upon me. You robed that boy. Father, I'm not worthy to be called your son anymore. Put a ring on his hand." This is a true son of the household of faith. "This is my chosen. This is my elect." "Put shoes on his feet, shod with the preparation of the gospel, and kill that fatted calf, the Lord Jesus Christ, the blood that covers a multitude of sins." Truly, a sinner is a dead soul. A rebel against God is a dead soul, but a regenerated soul is resurrection from the dead. "This is my son. This is my son. He was dead. He's alive again. He was lost and found." And they began to be merry. Now that's where generally where we stop right there. It was just a boy rebelled against his father. He goes into the country. He's brought to nothing. Brought to himself. Comes back and father receives him. But that's not where the Lord stopped. The scripture says in verse 25, "Now his elder son was in the field. And as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother's come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry, would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. He answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive and was lost and is found. Now this elder son, now remember who our Lord was speaking to. He was speaking to publicans and sinners and Pharisees that murmured mad. Why? Because he ate with sinners. He ate with sinners. Not people like us. He ate with rebels against it and murmured against him. And here's this elder son, and the Lord is speaking and revealing what they are. Here's this elder son, not in grace, but according to his profession, he was the son. Man by nature, a religionist, claimed to be a son based on their profession, sons of God. The Lord told him, he said, if you were the children of God, you'd love me. You'd believe me. You'd believe Moses. Moses spoke of me. If you were, if God were your father. You claim that he is. He's not. And the scripture says his elder son was in the field. Nothing wrong with hard work, but the picture that set forth. He was out there working, setting forth that his efforts is what merited his right standing. Here's this parable, spiritual. And the scripture says that he's out there in the field, and he came and drew nigh to the house, but you notice he didn't go in. He'll come near, and he hears the music and the dancing. He hears there's some rejoicing going on. There was a lost son that came to himself and was brought back powerfully, made willing in the day of God's power. And he heard the music and the dancing, the distinctive sounds of joy and mercy and recovery and reconciliation, as when the gospel's preached. This music, it was distinctive. When the gospel is preached, there's a distinctive sound. Man is ruined by the fall. Let me be plain here. There's none righteous, no, not one. Christ laid down his life for the sheep. That's distinctive. When the Spirit of God comes in power, it's irresistible power. God gives a man, a woman, a new heart. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. There's nothing wishy-washy about this. Man by nature preaches a message that leaves everything in the hands of man. Oh, won't you come? Won't you come? Won't you give Jesus your heart? He wants to save you if he can. That's so pitiful. That's not the God we serve. This boy, he heard the music and the dancing. And then the scripture says he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. He was ignorant. Ignorant of the truth. Ignorant of the beauty of grace. His daddy had shown mercy and compassion to that son. And he couldn't perceive that. What does all this mean? What's going on? How can there be mercy and acceptance? Except I've been out working. And the scripture says, and he said unto him, thy brother's come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. Thy brother. One dug out of the same pit, just like you. He's come. He's willing. Come to the Father. He's come to thy Father. That's what he says. Thy brother is coming. Thy Father hath killed the fatted calf. Again, Father by creation for sure. And Father by his profession. But not in grace. He won't come in. And Father has killed the fatted calf. Oh, that blessed setting forth of substitution. Your brother that was reduced to poverty, that alienated himself by grace, he's come to himself. And your Father has restored his fellowship. And now he feasts on the true bread of heaven. God saves sinners by grace, apart from any works of righteousness. This boy was lost and now he's found. And the scripture says, your Father has received him safe and sound, has recovered him. That's what it means, received. Your Father has recovered him safe and sound. He's forgiven. He's robed in the righteousness of Christ. Possesses a heart of oneness with the Father. And the scripture says in verse 28, and he was angry. He wouldn't go in. Therefore came his Father out and entreated him. Now, this is coming out of the Father. I think about this. This scripture right here sets forth so much light on that. Israel, by and large, was rebellious. Israel, by and large, rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. There were some. According to the election of grace in Israel. Paul said, I was one of them. But look at Hebrews 1:1. Let me just read this to you. The Father, he wouldn't go in, but the Father came out. Listen, God who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. God sent the prophets, gave them the law, gave them the types and figures, that tabernacle in the wilderness, and that mercy seat, the brazen altar. They wouldn't go in. But Almighty God came out and left them without excuse. But then Scripture says he heard of mercy, he heard of grace, and he was angry. He wouldn't go in. Therefore came his Father out and entreated him. And answering in verse 29, he said to his Father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. I did this. Man by nature sees himself as deserving of honor. And he's angry with God Almighty who shows mercy apart from works. That's why he was mad. He was mad because this Father showed particular mercy to a rebel. He was mad. He doesn't deserve that. I deserve it. He don't deserve it. I've been faithful. But listen to this. You talk about condemning his own self. Listen to the words in verse 30. But as soon as this thy son, won't him own him as a brother. As soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots. I just a moment ago as I was reading this scripture, this hit me right here. Here was this boy. You know what he's accused his daddy of? Not being able to continually sustain with his substance, his family. He has devoured thy living with hunger. He spent everything you got. I'm going to tell you something. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Cattle of 1,000 hills are his. All that he has ever created, it's his. He's devoured it. He brought you to nothing. Our God is in the heavens, and he hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. And I'm telling you, he has not been devoured to nothing. You take a rebel like me or like you, You think that we would devour God's inheritance, God's wealth, by redeeming a sinner? As soon as this thy son, won't even call him a brother, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. Never a truer statement made. Particular redemption. You killed for him. Not for himself, not for this boy. He was confessing out of his mouth that the Father had shown mercy. You kill for him the fatted calf. In verse 31, he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It's meet, it's fit that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, was lost and is found. Now here in closing, this worldly son received exactly what he wanted. An earthly lot, the fatness of the earth. He was working, thought he was worthy, just like Esau. That's what Esau got, the fatness of the earth. No mention of spiritual things, no awakenings, power of sin. Truly, this rebellious boy was a son by creation, but not in adoption and grace. Felt himself worthy, never acknowledged himself to be a rebel. All he did was claim his honor. I'm worthy. You're wrong. I'm right. You showed mercy and you shouldn't have. I deserved it and you didn't do it for me. I'm telling you, every sinner that God Almighty shows mercy to is going to be brought down. It was meet, it was fit that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead, alive, lost and found. I pray that God Almighty bring this sinner down. May Almighty God be pleased to ever show mercy to me. May I not be left to myself, for Christ's sake.